So this morning, I want to open up with a little humor, but it does relate to the message this morning. It goes like this. There's four brothers who left home and later became very, very successful and prosperous. Some years later, they had dinner together, these four brothers, to compare notes about what each of them got their elderly mother for Christmas. The first son said, as they were sitting there after their meal, he said, I built Mama a big house. The second son bragged and said, I had a surround sound theater built in that new house for Mama. The third son said, I bought my Mama a new Mercedes-Benz. The fourth son boasted and said, you know how Mama loved to read the Bible before her eyes went bad? Well, I bought a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 monks, 12 years, to teach this parrot the Bible. I had to pledge $2 million to the church, but it was worth it. All she has to do is name the chapter and the verse, and that parrot will recite it. The other brothers were really impressed and they were a little jealous. Actually, they were a lot jealous because their younger brother had outdone the other three. So after Christmas, the mother decided that she needed to write a letter of thank you to her sons. So the first son, she says, Milton, she wrote, the house you built is so huge I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole thing. But thanks anyway. Then the second son, she writes, Michael, you gave me an amazing theater that holds 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind, so I'll never be able to use it, but thank you for the kind gesture just the same. The third son, Marvin, she wrote, I am too old to travel, so I will never use that Mercedes, but I appreciate the thought, thanks. But to her son, her fourth son, she writes, dearest Melvin, you were the only one to put some thought into your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. The thing is this. These four sons thought they knew what their mother needed. Not what she wanted, but what she needed. Those four sons thought that this is the thing that she needed. But God alone is the only one who knows what we need. Right, Nicole? So this morning, I brought an object lesson. And as you can see, I have a jar here. And if I had known the church had rocks, I wouldn't have brought my own. And some of Connie's. So what we're going to start doing here, see if I start with the big ones first. They separated them just for that reason. So we're going to start putting the bigger rocks in here. Can you see everybody what I'm doing? Okay. So we're putting in the bigger rocks. I better not drop them or I won't have a project lesson to do. Okay. Bruce that I might call him up so when it starts getting messy, if it gets messy, I can blame him.
I'm good with messy.
You're good with messy? Okay. Caroline, can you vouch for that? Is he good with messy? She's nodding her head yes, and that expression on her face says no. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question now. Look at this jar. And can you tell me, is this jar full? Some are saying no. Some of them are saying they've seen this before. Okay. Well, you're right. It's not full. So we can still throw more stuff in here, can't we? You get the idea, right? I don't know why I bought so many, but anyway. Is it full now? They're saying no. just saying. I could call you up here, Bruce, now.
It's about to get messy.
It's about to get, that's why I got a tray here.
You don't have that?
Yeah, I think I'll. Okay, so you get the idea where I'm going with this, okay? So we know, by looking at this, at this point, there's probably nothing more we can add in there, right? Wrong. This is where it gets messy. Water. And we know if I was to keep adding, that eventually, this jar would be full. You say, well, Pastor, what's the lesson in all of this? Well, the thing is this. In order to get everything in that jar this morning, we had to start with what? We had to start with something that was big. Right? Because if we were to start with the sand, we wouldn't get all the stuff in there. If we were to start with the water, it would have overflowed with water by the time we put everything in there. Right? So we started out with something big. Right? And then we go to the smaller things. Right? Jesus proclaimed in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, he knew that if we wasted our time on worrying about the little things, So what are the little things? The little things are what? Fads, new things that come about, new songs, things that seem so urgent and so important that are so actually little things. They're not urgent things. They're little things. And what God wants us to do is not get focused on the little things, but get focused on the bigger things. On the bigger things. What would be a little thing? A little thing would be, well, they hurt me last week. I'm never going to forgive them for that. I'm never going to let go of what they said. That's a little thing. And what that's doing is stopping you from moving on with what God has for you. But if we focus on the big things, so what are the big things? The big things are eternal values, such as spiritual development and what else? Good works and faith and obedience in God. It says in Matthew 6:33, your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. Jesus reminds us the bigger thing is to seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all those little things will be added on to us if we trust and obey like the song says today. If we have good works, if we trust him and believe in him, that's those eternal values that I'm talking about this morning. And the spiritual growth by coming here and listening to the word faithfully, coming to hear Bible study, at the kids, children's church, kids club. There are so many ways that we can get that spiritual growth. The bottom line here this morning is we are that container. We are like this container here. What are we going to choose to do? Are we going to take our container and start putting the bigger things in and then allowing the little things to come in as we trust God to deal with those things? Our first step is that we have to get focused on the real things that are really important, and that is what? The eternal value. The eternal values of spiritual growth, God, our good works, and faith in God. Now, the message that I have today is really not that long. I have a story that I want to share with you, true story, but I do want Nicole and Cheryl to be able to fellowship with us afterwards, have a little time with them before she moves to the... Do you have the service at the other church today? So I want Nicole to be able to, you know, get to know everybody and, you know, visit a little bit. But I want to share this morning. Lando's job is as a public transport driver in the Philippines, okay? He was beginning his day by taking a quick gulp of coffee at a side coffee shop off the road. The daily commuters were just getting back from the lockdown of COVID-19. And the town was starting to hustle and bustle. Now, because of the lockdown, he had lost a lot of business. He was losing, you know, his finances were hurting. He was losing a lot of business. But now that things were in a big hustle and bustle again, he's excited. And he goes, I'll get back what I have lost in income due to the lockdown, and finally I can stop worrying about my finances. Now, to us, that's a big thing. But to God, it's not. It's the little thing. It's a little thing. He was about to start driving when he spotted Ronnie. Now, Ronnie was a street sweeper in the same location where Lando's was at. But Ronnie, for some reason, that day, instead of doing his job, he was sitting on the bench, and you could tell he was just really discouraged, depressed. And so Lando saw him, and he thought, you know, I want to go over and sit with him, but I can't. I don't have time. I've got to make some money. The more passengers I have, the more money I'm going to make today. And yet, as he starts getting on his, you know, his vehicle, and he starts, you know, he's going to start going to pick up passengers, this kept coming back to him, that he needed to go sit with Ronnie. So he stops whatever he's doing. He goes and he sits with Ronnie. He senses God giving him the unction to function in the Holy Spirit. And because Lando's had a conversation with Ronnie, the street sweeper, eventually Lando's was able to pray with Ronnie, and he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior at that very moment. Had he not done that, who knows if Ronnie would have ever accepted Christ. But because Lando stopped his world, which seemed so urgent to him, which seemed so important to him, he stopped and he was what? Eternal, what's that? Eternal value? He was obedient. He was obedient to what God wanted him to do. Lando said this. This is what he said. God still that day provided enough passengers to help me meet my income for the day. And God reminded me, my needs are his concern. Isn't that what the word tells us? When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's saying, your needs are my concern. That's his part of his promise to us. He doesn't say them just to say the words. He's saying them because he means it. You know, back here when we were talking about the little things, we have to realize that God knows every hair on our head. He knows the amount of hair we have on our hair. If he knows that, he knows every detail about us. And he knows our every thought. Therefore, if he knows our every thought, he knows our every need, he knows our every want, he knows our every desire. What God does that? A God of love and mercy. A God who sent his son, his one and only son, to the cross so that we could ask for forgiveness and stand before the Father in righteousness and receive that salvation. That we can be set free. His desire is to set the captives free. How many of us in this room can say at one time you felt like you were captive to something, some sin in your life that stopped you to going from to the Lord because of this sin that held you back? I'm one of them. I'm not ashamed to say it either. It says in Matthew 6:33, your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. Jesus reminds us, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, Tim is going to read this morning Matthew 6:25-33. And the reason why I'm having him do it at this time is going to help close this message. So, Tim, if you would, please.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more, much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Tim. In that scripture, those verses that he just read, Jesus understood how difficult it was going to be for us to not worry. He says it right there. He's trying to reaffirm, I've got this. I've got this covered. I can take care of this. Cheryl's been given a diagnosis. I've been given a diagnosis. It's not what we want to hear. But we keep moving on and we keep doing what God's called us to do. And we'll not stop, will we, Cheryl? We're not going to own it. We're not going to take ownership of what the diagnosis we've been told. We're going to move on and do what God's called us to do. We're going to be about the Father's business. How about you? That's what we're supposed to do. But guess what? The only way that can be done is telling people that they need the Lord, just like Nicole said today. We are the messengers. We are the ones that have been called to give out that message of truth and promise and hope. So he assures us, Jesus does, that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need. We've been reminded not to be anxious, but to trust him and devote ourselves to doing what he wants us to do, just like Lando did. He stopped his world, and he went to Ronnie, and he brought Ronnie to Christ. As we embrace and as we obey his purpose, his plan, we have a confidence that our Father will clothe us in righteousness. He will provide for us according to his will, according to his plan, just like he provided for all of creation. We are all a part of that creation. He shows no favoritism to anyone. We are all, he loves us all the same. And you say, well, look at David. Look how patient he was with David. David had Uriah murdered so that he could have Bathsheba. And yet God still used him. That had to take a special kind of love. It took a special kind of love for him to send his son to the cross so that we could stand in righteousness before him. It's the same love. It has not changed. It will never change. That love will never change. That's what this love story is all about. That's what this word is all about. It's a love story to you and me. That is exactly, like I said, what Lando experienced that day as he simply followed the unction to function in the Holy Spirit to be there for Ronnie. And guess what happened? Lando brought love and compassion of God to Ronnie when he needed it most. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring God's love and his compassion. God brings that love and that compassion through us into the person that we make contact with each and every time. Just as Nicole came up here, you could feel the love and compassion of God coming through her. You could feel that because the anointing was there. And you say, well, Pastor Brian, I don't know what to say to somebody. I don't know how to minister to somebody. You know what? When it comes to that, you say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to say. I don't even know what's wrong with that person. But Lord, I'm going to just step out, and I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the right words to say so that I can minister to this person. I may not bring them to you as far as them saying the salvation prayer, but I planted a seed, and then somebody else is going to come along, and they're going to water that seed. And then one day that person is going to come to know you. But God says, if you help plant the seed and someone else comes to water that seed, you are going to get credit. Whether you planted or whether you watered, you are still going to get credit when you stand before God someday. And like I've said many times, there's going to be people when you get up there and go, how did they get up here? That was the last person that I expected. Well, because somebody watered. Somebody sowed the seed. Not only that, Landos brought the Word of God that brought and met Ronnie's need. So there were two things that happened that day. Ronnie brought love and compassion of God, and Landos brought the Word of God that brought Ronnie his need. So this morning I'm asking you, what was Ronnie's need? What was Ronnie's need, the bottom line? Was it the little pebbles? Was it the little object that maybe he was having marital problems? Maybe one of his teenagers were having issues. And he was, that's a little problem. To us, it's urgent. To us, it's a big thing. But to God, if we give it to God, it's not a big thing. What was the big thing? Ronnie needed the Lord. How many of us know somebody that needs the Lord? Every one of us in this room knows somebody that needs the Lord. And it might be us they're asking. God is nudging us to say, I need you to stop your world. And I need you to go to them and I need you to share the gospel. You don't have to be holier than thou. All you have to just be is show love and compassion. Then God will do the rest. You do your best and God will do the rest. Now again, as I close with this prayer, and I'm going to ask Nicole if she feels comfortable, and Cheryl, if you want to sing like maybe the last second round of that song to close instead of doing the closing, and then I'm going to do the benediction after that. I'm going to close with this prayer, and then I'll have you come up. If that's okay, if you feel comfortable with that, you feel okay with that? Okay. I'm going to close with this prayer. Father, at the end of this broken dream, our broken dreams, you're the open door. When Lando shared with Ronnie the gospel, Ronnie found that even in his broken dreams, that you were his open door. Today, we started this service praying for the lost, those that had no hope without you. But we prayed in unity and in one accord as a body of believers that the Holy Spirit would move mightily and bring many unbelievers to hear of the saving knowledge of your word that can bring salvation. And Father, those that receive Christ as Savior, Father, we pray that Holy Spirit, that you minister to them and that you put a fire in them, Lord, like none other. And Father, also, Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us as believers realize that we must do our part, that we must be there to share the gospel, to make a difference, just like Landos did with Ronnie. Show us, Lord, show us how we can make a difference.